The Rancor's Brothel presents. Sick Again, a Delta Green playtest.
I guess we'll start here. First off, two announcements. The first announcement, as you probably already noticed, this is not masks. My bad. I feel bad because literally the last episode they would have heard is, we'll see you next week for masks, folks. At the time at which we recorded that, I was like, yeah, we're going to get some masks in. It's going to be great. We're going to start it. Unfortunately, there were holidays, there were personal matters, there were scheduling conflicts, issues, people having things added and or removed to their body. We won't go into detail about that, Matt. We've already recorded some masks. It's going to be awesome, but I'm not going to tell you when it's coming out because I'm not quite sure until we get through the holiday recording. So it may be after this particular episode. It may not. Anyway, just a general announcement. Second part, I feel like it's important to note that this is a playtest. This is some of the great content you get from Dennis Detweiler's Patreon or Drip, if you support that. This is a Greg Stolce playtest, so it's not published anywhere at the moment that I'm aware of, so changes may occur if you're listening to this sometime in the distant future.
If so, hello.
Yeah. Year 3000.
Welcome.
You twit face.
Hello from the past. So anyway, I thought I'd say that. There are a couple of things. I'll try not to reference them. I think that he wrote in a couple of concepts or references that may be confusing to players that he hasn't built the prop yet, or he hasn't given full definition, or probably stuff that's still in process because it is a playtest. So I've tried to make mental notes of them and not make references to them, but at some time you may be like, what is this? And I'd be like, a plot hole at the moment. So anyway, I'm super excited because we mostly play Detweiler stuff, and I think Stolce is amazing. His writing is really, really fun to read. It's also very heavily science-based, which is kind of different for Delta Green. So that should be exciting. Do we want to get started, or do we want to introduce everybody? I guess we can just get started. You can introduce yourself as we go.
Can I just say I have Christmas dice? They're literally red and green.
That's the funniest looking red I've ever seen.
You can say it.
I don't know that it's true.
I think you should definitely introduce it. You haven't yet, okay. So you should do that.
They are Kickstarter dice. They are from Half Seas Dice. They were their special Christmas collection, and so I brought them out for this week before Christmas game.
Once they're off Kickstarter, they should definitely sponsor the podcast.
Yep.
Because I'm sure they're rolling in money.
I said once they're off Kickstarter.
They had a double booth at Gen Con the last 2 years.
Wow, that's impressive.
They're only 2 years old.
I'm also, thanks to Schroeder, drinking some Old Crow, which is not exactly the ideal sponsor, but one we would definitely take.
I, for the sake of your ears, am not drinking alcohol tonight.
$13 a handle at your local Crown Liquors. Crown Liquors, a proud, not sponsor yet, of the Rancor's Brothel.
Perfect. So let's get started. I will go ahead and tell you the title.
An ashamed sponsor.
Sponsor shaming. I like it. I will go ahead and tell you the name of this scenario. I don't normally do that, but I think it's fun. This is Greg Stolce's Sick Again.
Oh man, that gave so much away.
It totally did. So our players this evening are a team of created by the CDC. Basically, as a counter-germ warfare initiative after the anthrax attacks of 2001. The year is 2012. They are the Fast Escalating Virulent Emergency Response Group, also known as FEVER.
Play Black Keys here.
You two should only ever play together. Because literally you touched her hand and she stopped her fit. That is the best thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Yeah, now you need to grab her hand again.
He's a Jasmine Whisperer.
Well, okay. Yeah, that's why I married him.
That makes sense.
Sun's getting real low.
Does that make me the Hulk? You're Black Widow.
I bet
that is the best thing that's ever
makes
happened.
Makes so much more sense now.
Yes, I bet. I bet Dave looks great in spandex.
Wouldn't you like to know?
No,
I'll
not
charge
even a
$10
bit.
A ticket.
Not even a little
I
bit.
I get in free.
That's Patreon content.
That is 100% Patreon content.
Yes, we should only ever play together and sitting next to each other, because this wouldn't work if we were across the table.
So
then the table just moves.
The Fever Group is located in and around the Phoenix area. You folks have trained together. You're part of this response team. You've never really been used, but you're always on call. You never know when something might happen in the American Southwest, and you've been dispatched. I believe today is the... Sorry, I gotta check my
17th?
Papers. It's June? The 12th of June, 2012, I believe.
I tried, Dave. Sorry.
6-12-12? Does that sound right?
That is accurate.
That's what he said.
Well, it's in the Americas.
Sorry, I think it's the 13th.
My mom's birthday.
Friday? Friday the 13th in 2012? I have no idea. So, you've been dispatched. And at this point, you are, when the call comes in, you have a cell phone dedicated to Fever that you carry around with you at all times. Like I said, you've never been dispatched before, but the call comes in, get to the airport now. That's all they have. That's all they know. You know that you will be advised en route. Dave, would you like to introduce your character?
Why, sure. I am playing Rodrigo Jimenez, who is a Coast Guard pilot on loan to the CDC in Phoenix.
So you probably, since you are active military, or at least in some, you're still connected to the Coast Guard in some way, shape, or form, although Phoenix is not exactly a coastal town. You probably work in and around the airport, so you probably get there first. You have, you have an H-175 helicopter, so an Airbus. I have a picture of it if you need it.
I have one too.
Basically, it's a 12-passenger helicopter. Yep. Really nice looking.
She's pretty.
You would be able to respond first, so you can get to the hangar and see what's going
on. They're running pre-flights.
Right. You're going to go ahead and jump in. You can see that they're fueling it. They pulled it out onto the helipad. The tarmac. Well, it's not. Is it really the tarmac if it's a helicopter? Like,
it's a desert. Does it matter?
It depends on where they store it.
I suppose that's fair. So they've got it pulled out. They're fueling it. You're running through pre-flight. You can see that all the equipment assigned to Fever is already being loaded into the back. You do have someone come up and Lieutenant.
Yes.
Here, you might want to see this. And he hands you the most recent weather report.
Oh, okay.
It is, I believe it's midday, or getting close to midday. It's already hot.
What sort of person is this?
Insert assistant at the airport here. Nobody involved with the CDC or anything like that.
Okay.
He's showing you that the most recent, you know that you are.
I was going to say it wouldn't be very useful until I know where I'm going, but he wouldn't be able to tell me.
Yes, and that's what he's getting ready to tell you.
Oh, he can tell me?
Yes.
Oh.
Flight manifest. You are going to be directed to an airstrip to the north of Hudson's Well, a small town on the Mogollon Plateau, about 170 miles northeast of their location. So northeast of where you're at in Phoenix, it's a 170-mile trip. You know that this is like a podunk dust cropper airport. This is not anything where anything of any size lands.
Okay.
If any sort of plane short of like a prop plane or something cannot land at this location in all likelihood.
I apologize for my lack of
runways, presumably.
Right. Yeah. It's not big.
Arizona geography? Is that still in the state of Arizona?
You are still in the state of Arizona at that point. Mm. But the thing that he is showing you, Dave, is that, what is it? Lieutenant Jimenez. The thing he's showing Lieutenant Jimenez is that there is a storm rolling in on that location, and the storm front is going to roll directly between you and your landing site. Obviously, you're a trained pilot. You know that you will have a choice to make. For you to fly around is going to take like two and a half hours of what should be like an hour flight. So you either fly around the storm head or you fly through it.
Can you confirm that that's Navajo country?
I would imagine so based on my description. I don't know if it actually is.
That's what the map is telling me.
Then that is probably correct.
Okay.
What's the name of the place that we're going?
Hudson's Well, which I imagine is a fictitious place. It may not be. So that's the choice that you are going to have to make, Dave. How exactly you're going to fly, what your flight plan will be.
What was the difference between going around and not?
It's going to be like an hour and a half, probably.
Okay.
But the storm head, I mean, you have meteorology. You're trained in it. it's not going to be pleasant. Going through it is not going to be easy. It's nothing that you've not trained with before, but it's not super safe. Dr. McGinnis, you pull up next. You notice that you basically just show a badge that says CDC, and you have never gotten through an airport faster in your life. Phoenix is not a massive airport by any stretch of the imagination, but you are directed directly. It is nice. You're directed
when the flight doesn't leave early.
You're directed straight to the tarmac. Like, they let you, you basically park your car next to the choppa.
Cool.
So you get out. You would recognize Lieutenant Jimenez. Otherwise, you just see everyone is packing the equipment.
Okay.
Any sort of interactions you'd like to have, or at least describe Dr. McGinnis to the audience.
Dr. McGinnis is a, I won't say old, but advanced in years.
So advanced.
The French say les personnes âgées, which basically means aged person.
Yeah. He's late 50s, in good shape.
Any specialties as far as from a medical perspective, or is he just kind of a general MD?
General MD with a more points in forensics.
Okay, so maybe almost like a forensic pathologist as well. Or okay. Anything you'd like to do?
Load whatever gear I've got.
As I say, you could easily take a check in the back. They're loading the stuff. You would know how it needs to go loaded to ride securely.
Mm-hmm.
So probably double checking that.
Okay.
As you're doing so,
ask the lieutenant where we're going and find out what I can. I'm assuming I was just called and said, get here.
Yes, exactly. You have no further information than that.
So far, all I know is a place called Hudson's Well, northeast. Looks like Navajo country.
Okay.
You would know it's rural, obviously.
Yeah.
Other than that, you don't know anything.
Ass cracking nowhere.
Dr. Shearer, you pull up next.
I think that the first thing that Shearer would do is...
describe himself for the audience.
is what he would do. Dr. Shearer, 6'1", slight build, tight cropped blonde hair, first man not to be in the military in his family.
Such a disappointment.
Yeah, right? And he typically will always have his examination bag with him. He's always walking, you know, and carrying his briefcase. I think that as soon as he parked the car, he would be straight to the helicopter. And not even talking to Rodrigo, he would know that he would have where we were going. Just checking gear, making sure we're good to go, and advising as soon as our fourth member's on board, you know, boots on deck, we're in the air.
Okay. I should point out, Dr. Shearer is actually an employee of the CDC, so you are sort of the de facto leader. I mean, this is obviously a team, but you are, as part of the company, more or less, you know, as a government official and employee of the CDC, you're the official spokesman for the team.
Yeah.
Another car pulls up. Dr. Finley?
Dr. Finley steps out. It is a valet car. Chauffeured car.
That just makes me think of Albert Finney.
It's Finley. Thank you.
I know.
Dr. Finley is about 5'3", 5'4", rather petite, Chinese American. Long, straight black hair, low ponytail, very crisp. Not quite business suit, but definitely very well put together.
Okay. I need to work on my descriptions.
Which
you and me both.
Jeff's like, I'm a dude.
Having realized that I've not actually described Rodrigo, he's 5'10", fairly average, kind of skinny, black hair with a short, like, stubble beard, kind of angular face.
The gear that they keep describing, I want to go ahead and make sure the audience knows that. I went over some of the details with them, but just so the audience knows... all of the doctors have computers. They all have sat phones as well as high-end smartphones at their disposal. They have both level A, completely contained hazmat suits, as well as level B, which are basically rebreathers, more like a scuba tank being on your back kind of thing. They have a portable diagnostic lab, and they have a thing called the Doomsday Bag, which is full of a lot of restricted pharmaceuticals. So they are fully equipped to put boots on the ground and respond to any sort of situation that arises. Anything you all want to do now that you're in the same place?
Get us in the air, Rodrigo. Let's go.
Do we have a briefing yet?
I would say brief us on the way. You probably have more information than anybody else.
At this point, you haven't heard anything.
Am I expecting to?
Not that you're aware of. I mean, the whole point of fever, it even says, I'll credit Stolze's humorous writing here. So he describes fever in the book to me and what fever is. And the first thing that he says about it is, you know, obviously fever, the first acronym is FAST. For the FAST element, the group has a dedicated pilot. So you are the FAST part of fever. So the idea is you get them where they need to go quickly. So if they say go, you go.
Well, I need you to make a call.
We'll defer to your judgment as a pilot.
Never mind then.
Who do we actually...
We already know how things go.
Who are we getting our job
get
from?
Us there how we
well,
need
no,
to get there.
I'm talking about you, this, and I'll like slide the weather report towards you.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a storm coming in.
You actually wouldn't know, Jeff. Like, you know who is in charge of you. You know some of those folks. That doesn't necessarily mean that the order came down from your chain of command.
You got a message on a smartphone.
You could have been scrambled by any one of a number of individuals at the CDC. Because basically, it's like calling 911. The dispatcher sends who's there.
Right, but the dispatcher says there's a gunshot wound on the scene. You're going to deal with that.
Yeah, they're going to give you info as soon as they have it. I'm waiting for you to get to the thematically appropriate time, Jeff.
Okay, I'm going to go
get on the... Which may or may not be in the middle of the storm.
I'm going to go get on the chop.
Thank you.
It'll take us about an hour and a half to go around it.
An extra hour and a half. It takes you about an hour to go through it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, looking at the weather report, I mean... Can you take us through it, or is it? Do you feel like it's better to go around?
It's just whether you want to do it.
As the,
I think we need to get to the storm so that you can actually see what we're dealing with.
Yeah. Hell's bells, let's go through it, and I'll keep myself in the corner where I vomit.
Let's get to where you can put eyes on it, and then we'll talk. We'll take your suggestion at that time.
As the rotors start to spin, and you see most of the people clear away. You actually see someone, of course, ear protection and everything else. They come running up to the side of the helicopter, ducking from it, and they start banging on the side of your door.
Yeah.
Open it.
As you open it, they slide you a couple of pieces of paper, and then as they run off, they wave you up. You can go. You're clear.
I just hand these back over. Or is somebody sitting in my co-pilot's seat?
I would imagine.
Probably him.
Not unless he is.
I would assume that I would probably be sitting there.
Mm.
Or no.
It's up to you. Wherever you
I mean,
sit.
If I've already checked everything, then I would be sitting up front.
That's fair. It is a 12-passenger seated thing, so there is plenty of room to sit in the back. It's not a small 4-person choppa.
I would want to be there in case...
But this makes him feel important.
Right. If he wants to feel important, he can.
I would want to be there in case there's any kind of like radio chatter that needs to be communicated very quickly. I don't know that... I mean, are they wearing headsets in the back to hear?
Yeah. No, what I'm saying headsets. Is as you get set up, there's going to be room for you, anyone in the back, maybe not necessarily in the front, but anyone in the back to pull open laptops, to consult your smartphone. The helicopter has Wi-Fi. Like, you're set to go from the minute. Like, you can already be booting up your computers. So that information comes into him as a printout because that's thematic and it's the way that I wanted to do it. And then you're up in the air. You're in the direction. You're heading northeast.
Yep.
And you can see, even now, you can start to see the storm head on the horizon.
Dr. Finley has confiscated all of the vomit bags, put them next to her, and sat next to the window, looking very green.
You all would have obviously ear protection because it's not exactly an insulated commercial flight. You all are wearing headsets, which allow you to communicate with each other. Lieutenant Jimenez, you can switch back and forth with either talking to ground control of anywhere that you're flying nearby, or you can be a part of this discussion.
Yeah. I'll say, Dr. Finley, do not open that window unless it's an emergency. I classify emergency.
I understand that. You haven't smelled what I've smelled.
What?
Before I start reading this, can you define something for me?
Sure.
DPEI.
That's a thing in here that I should know.
It's die with an extra P in it.
It's the, Bart, the. DPEI is the Division of Preparedness and Emerging Infections.
Okay.
Which is under the National Center for Emerging and Zoonotic Infections, NCESID.
Yep.
That's the oversight of the Divisions of Vector-Borne Diseases, DVBD, and High Consequence Pathogens and Pathology, DHCPP.
Okay, so now I'm going to be using all of those anagrams.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so what I've been handed by our pilot, Rodrigo, is going to be two separate emails, it looks like. First, dated June 13th, 2012, which is today, to Fever Group from Dr. Stacy Marholm, Associate Director of DPI, Dr. Ambrosia Largo, Director of NCEZID, Dr. Frank Teasdale, Director of DPI, Dr. Trey Klein, Assistant Director of DVBD, and Vaughn Hubble, Associate Director of DHCPP, regarding Hudson's Well, Arizona.
The main thing that you need to know is that Dr. Stacy, I think it's Marholm, right? Dr. Marholm, who would be one of the people who could scramble you, someone who has that power.
Yeah.
She basically CC'd, like, it worked when you CC everyone, including your boss and your boss's boss and your boss's boss's boss. That's what this email is.
Exactly.
Hey, you guys, you need to go do something. Oh, by the way, I'm telling all of our bosses.
Yep. So at 0800 hours today, DPEI received an emergency call from Dr. Fritz Strickland, Chief of Emergency Operations at Hudson's Well Catholic Hospital. In less than 24 hours, 9 patients have been admitted with extremely suspect symptoms. High fever is universal, and intense headaches are also reported, along with coughing or nausea. As of 0845, 2 of those patients have died, and the physician who oversaw their admittance, Dr. Maya Paulden, has begun exhibiting fever and nausea herself. Dr. Strickland has isolated the patients in the hospital's ICU and is restricting immediate assistance. Requesting immediate assistance. All patients have, so far, proven resistant to cefepime, levaquin, and vancomycin. Yeah, vancomycin.
So glad you volunteered to do this.
Yeah, I know. I didn't volunteer. Thanks, Dave. Tylenol.
You can hand or read out to anybody to read.
Yeah. Tylenol failed to reduce their fevers, and cooling blankets were only marginally effective. Fever Group is to proceed immediately to Hudson's Well Catholic Hospital, engage in crisis evaluation procedures, and advise on contagion and containment. SMMD. So it's going to be Stacy Marholm, MD. Second email from Dr. Roseman Kahert. It's not on the original list. Subject, critical medical emergency with poor spelling, dated June 12th, 2012, so the day prior at 12:51 a.m. to CDC emergency contact. I'm sick and this is not anything you've seen before. The spelling is really bad. Brad Strusser. He got it from her. So from her. I feel tired. I'm sorry. I didn't want this. None of us have any idea this could happen. None of us expected her to come through. We tried decontamination.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay. We tried decontamination. It didn't do any good. Davies is gone. No one knows where he went. She's dead now, but I don't know what's going to happen to Hudson Wells. I exposed him. I did. I didn't know. The thermometer says my temp is 103. I'm sorry. I didn't think this could come through a closed loop. My head hurts so bad. The power demand was incalculable. Where did it all come from? It was an accident. No one wanted this. I'm sorry. You have to come to Hudson's Well. Please. It's so fast it hurts. So, and then it breaks off.
At what temperature does the human body start dying?
104.
I mean, pretty...
104, 105?
103 is real bad.
103 is an emergency scenario. 104 is death scenario.
Yeah.
103 might be your brain starts boiling out of your ears. Like, it's bad.
Explain...
It's not that.
That's not true.
It's yeah. pretty up there.
Yeah, but you're not going to...
103 is what's considered an emergency scenario. If a child has a 102 or less, and
well,
it
yeah,
is staying,
children, it's even worse. Yeah,
and it's staying at that temperature with controlled from any kind of fever reducing treatment, it is not an emergency scenario.
Okay, so do we have any idea who these people are?
Everyone who is on the email from Dr. Marholm, you would know all of those individuals.
I mean, the other email.
You aren't even sure why you got that.
You see why I was struggling? Did you look at that? To give it away from Jazz, she might have a conniption fit.
I'm okay. It's a pro.
I'm sure she's circling.
Okay, I'm go. Only sometimes. I've got Wi-Fi. I've got a laptop. I'm going to search through Caltech to find Rosamund Cayard.
Sure. You can do that. Is there any other discussion that you'd like to have about the emails before you start doing research?
Oh, sorry.
I don't know. Because there's a decision that needs to be made before you do any research.
Ah.
Because the one thing that Stolze does really, really well is consequences for actions.
Yep.
So first off, before, I'd just like to say, is there any other discussion you'd like to have about the emails that you've received? I want to make sure everybody gets a chance to read them and look over them. Any input?
Looks rough, guys. Might be viral.
What's that about a closed loop?
You got me, boss.
That doesn't sound good for
and
quarantine.
And by boss, it's a joke. Yeah.
I didn't think this could come through a closed loop. Power demand was incalculable. Incalculable. Where did it all come from?
Power demand is not a phrase you use with medical stuff unless I'm way out of my depth, which I am, but...
But you're in the air.
Lieutenant Jimenez, you need to make a choice. You're getting to the point where you either need to go around or you need to go through.
Phoenix Tower, can you advise on headwinds?
Bad.
Thanks, Tower.
They advise you that, you know, it is not something that they are waving you off of, but it is something that you realize you will need to navigate.
We need the exact knots, please, and thank you.
75 knots.
That's not
Phoenix
miles,
Tower,
right?
Be advised, I'm planning to pilot through this storm. I am taking us down to 100 feet.
It's really low, Dave. I don't know if they're gonna let you go that low.
We're over nowhere.
There are no trees in Arizona.
Right. The point is
there's no cactuses.
The point is to be low if we crash.
Yeah. What it is saying is that you would know is that storms obviously are fueled on heat, and it is the Arizona summer, so it will be nasty in there. But you're not flying into Twister. It's not that bad. But it's not pretty. If you had any choice, you would rather fly around it. So that's the question. Do you feel like you have a choice, or are you flying through?
I am flying through.
All right. Hey, Dave, how about you...
I would have forced you to.
How about you make me that pilot role that you've always wanted to make for Delta Green?
Woo!
Good luck.
Pass.
Okay. It's a success.
You're an ADM pilot, right?
Yep.
Cool. I was like...
You
bad.
All feel the... The helicopter strain and lurch as you hit the wall, and you feel it suddenly drop as your stomachs go up to your throats.
Oh, hell!
That's just the temperature drop.
Dr. Shearer, you see the lieutenant begin battling the stick really, really hard, and for 30 seconds you feel like you're on the worst roller coaster ever. And then he seems to start understanding how it's going to move, and everything seems to function like it should. You seem to be getting through. Every once in a while, there's a sharp drop, but you seem to be cutting right through it without too much trouble. You know that you can handle this now that you're into it. You all have the option to basically take, it's going to be an hour to Hudson's Well. You have the opportunity to take an action. So if you'd like to research some of the names, that's something that you could do. What else would you like to do?
I will repeat, Dr. Finley, do not open the window in this dust storm.
I heard you the first time.
Is it a SIGINT roll or a computer science roll to break in or look at the files of the hospital?
You probably don't have the computer science to do it.
Actually, my computer science is at 40.
You could call the hospital.
That's true.
I mean, you can.
I'll call the hospital. Thank you.
Is there a person that you're going to particularly call?
Maybe if I can break in the top window. Have you tried knocking on the door?
Fritz Strickland.
Okay. So you're going to call Dr. Strickland. Dr. Finley.
Dr. Finley is debating. There's a couple of things that could be pursued. One would just be like a see what's hit the web sort of thing. Check the Instagram, check the Snapchats, check the Reddit.
Okay. You want to
kind of just scope out what's happening in and around Hudson Well, if there's you know, pictures of alien sightings popping
R
up.
/epidemiology.
/epidemiology.
/historians. Have you ever seen blue lights like this before?
So you're going to look into the social aspects. Yeah. Jeff is going to look into Caltech, you said, right?
Yep.
So you're going to look into those individuals, and you're going to call Dr. Strickland.
Correct.
We'll start with the research bit first. Jeff.
Yes.
What is your bureaucracy score, Jeff?
50.
Okay. You look into the name Kiert, I assume, because I think that's what the top of the email address.
Kiert.
Yeah.
Rosemary.
Rosemond.
You find out that Dr. Rosemond Kiert is a professor at Caltech, who is pursuing a research project on a grant. The details are unspecified. She is a, she's listed as a doctor of physics.
Okay.
As to whereabouts, as to what she might be working on, as to any of that, you don't find that out in the quick hour of Googling.
Do I find what department she works for and who the department head is?
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to call that person.
Okay. I'll get back to that. Jasmine, Dr. Findlay.
Yes, hitting the web.
Absolutely. I want to see... I know there's a bit in here, sorry.
There better be a bit. Why is it wasted a whole hour? Mm-mm-mm. Might take you that long just to look through every...
No, it's just pages. You have mentioned something that is in here, and I'd like to credit it in some way, if possible.
Sweet! Mm-hmm. I found the clue, guys!
What is your... Oh, there it is. Damn, it wasn't the section I thought it was. My apologies. What is your humint, sigint, or computer science skill, the highest one?
Humint is 30.
Okay. Mm. He does an interesting thing with this, which I think is a lot of fun. You're not finding anything strange. You're not finding anything on social media. You're not finding anything under the profiles of the individuals named, etc., etc., etc. Nope, that's not what I wanted. Go back.
So you're saying there's a clue, but I don't have a high enough humit to find it?
Possibly. Or there's no clue. Whichever one you know, it's up in the air.
Yeah, you see, so I would
throw things like that in there just to make people paranoid.
Oh, I'm not paranoid. I'm mad.
Nobody's posting about this on Reddit!
That I can find. That's the key.
I'm sure someone left a comment in here somewhere. What if her skill was 40?
Maybe she could use some help.
Jeff, when you get through to the department head, you can't. What do you say? So you call. You get a hold of a secretary or something. You know, hello, Caltech.
Okay. Question before I answer this.
Sure.
I thought he called the hospital.
No, he called the hospital. I'm waiting on that.
Oh,
one.
Okay.
What is our standard operating procedures?
As far as your job is to assess the situation and respond accordingly.
Right.
Are you talking about like mandates?
As a part of, are we keeping things quiet? Do we have the authority to call and research this stuff?
Yes, you absolutely have the ability to use whatever resources you have. Talking to the CDC, calling people back in Atlanta, I mean, calling any sort of resources you have. You would know one of the many things that you've talked about with Dr. Marholm and some of the training seminars you might have had with Schroeder's character, Dr. Shearer, is that you don't want to incite panic. This is a post 9/11 world. You don't want to cause panic if you don't have to.
Do not talk to the press.
That's why I'm checking.
Yes. You have, like we talked about, I think, before we started on air, you have powers to quarantine, you have powers to do stuff like that. But you obviously are instructed to use such things with discretion. Mm-hmm. You don't want to start saying it's the second coming of Ebola if it turns out to be something very, very mundane.
I will say that, what's the name of the hospital that we're going to?
Hudson Wells Catholic Hospital.
Yeah,
Hudson. I'm with Hudson Wells Catholic Hospital, and we are Dr.
Strickland.
Kiert.
Checked in. we are trying to find out what she may have come in contact with.
Next of kin.
Next of kin.
Power
roll of attorney.
Persuade's a thing, right?
It is.
Is fast talking lying a thing in this game?
No.
All under persuade now.
Okay, you roll me a persuade, Jeff, because you're kind of saying things.
That's a crit fail. That's a 100.
I saw the double zero, and I was like, oh, yeah! And then I looked over, and I saw the other zero, and I was like,
We won't narrate it, but we'll assume that they... I don't even know why you would be calling for Dr. Keert here. You know, you clearly have the wrong number, and they hang up on you.
Okay.
I went from Macho Man, Randy Savage, to...
Dr. Shearer. You get a call in, ring. They say, okay, we'll transfer you to Dr. Strickland. You get ring once, ring twice. Hello. Is this the CDC?
It is Strickland. It's the emergency response team. We're on our way.
What have you found out?
Nothing yet. We're hoping
then why the fuck are you calling me?
Because we're on the way in. We're coming in to help.
Okay. Well, I've got more bodies. They're stacking up in here. Okay.
Give me something to work with. I've not been briefed. All I know is that there's issues going on.
I was just say, we just had a guy come in who worked an 8-hour shift at Dunkin' Donuts. I've admitted 3 patients since the last call to the CDC, all of whom bought food at that Dunkin' Donuts. The local sheriff has shut the place down and is trying to recover records, but he did serve people for an 8-hour shift today. Which is weird to think. But yes, apparently he's had enough time for an 8-hour shift. I guess if it's noonish, right? Like, Dunkin' Donuts is early.
Yeah, that makes sense. They start at 4, and yeah.
We may also have another fatality. We have an elderly woman who died already, but I don't know what day it is. I may have told you it's the wrong day, but every email says the 13th, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. There are some issues with dates in this one, but that's okay. There is an elderly woman who has also died. In the ambulance on the way to the ER with severe fever. We'll say it's today, although in the notes it says it's the 14th, which hasn't happened yet.
Who are the officers on the scene?
He rattles off a couple of names. Knows the name of the local sheriff.
I know you said they shut it down and they quarantined the place.
They just shut it down. They cleared everybody out of there.
Did they actually go inside?
Yes.
Okay, then go ahead and bring the officers who were actually in the building to the hospital and and reach out to local law enforcement to not allow anybody else in or near within 20 feet of the location.
He also lets you know that he's like, I've given the patients Tamiflu and Relenza, and they don't seem to be doing a damn bit of good. Those are antivirals.
I know exactly what Tamiflu is because I'm giving it to my child.
I'm speaking it to the audience.
Yep. So Tamiflu, what was the other one?
Relenza.
Okay. With no results whatsoever.
No, it doesn't seem to be having any effect.
I'm assuming you've quarantined within the hospital.
I'm doing everything I can. This is a small regional hospital. We're doing what we can, but there's a reason why we called you.
Well, and there's a reason why I'm telling you to keep everybody who's already been working with these patients within the area.
You begin to hear someone else speaking in the background, and you hear Dr. Strickland. I can't remember if Dr. Strickland is male or female.
Zeke, can you ask him if they have a helipad?
I will. But what was I'm listening to what's being said in the background?
Strickland. No, you just hear Dr. Strickland. He's like, I'm sorry, I have to go. I have to go.
And Strickland, do you have a helipad?
He hangs up the phone. I think Orlando. I don't remember.
Orlando.
Fritz.
I'll buzz it all the way over.
We'll eyeball it. We'll eyeball it.
Dr. Fritz Strickland?
Yes.
I don't remember. I think
it is Fritz Strickland.
Okay, so it's antibiotic resistant. It is antiviral resistant.
Those are both of the things.
Those are our two main weapons.
Parasitic? Could it be parasitic?
What was the...
Could be.
Remind me again, what was the second one? I know Tamiflu.
Relenza.
And both of those are antiviral. It's going to be resistant to any antibiotics they've probably tried pumping these people with, because we got a list earlier.
Yeah.
Which
Levaquin,
leaves...
Cefepime, and what was the third one on there? Those are antibiotics.
Yeah.
Vancomycin?
Lieutenant Jimenez?
Vancomycin?
Yeah.
When you call, they don't have a helipad. You're still directed to the Hudson's Well. They say they can get you to the hospital
like the
in a few
airport,
minutes.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, vancomycin.
I will ask for a police escort.
Yeah, absolutely. They have they're expecting you there. There is a sheriff's deputy who is going to provide a vehicle, and they'll escort you there with
make sure
they'll get you there.
Make sure it's a van.
Yeah, yeah. No, hey, they're on it. Yes, ma'am.
As part of that, not find anything with the social role, can I set up like Google alerts for anything that mentions Hudson Well?
A roll of computer science?
I can't.
You can have stat?
Can I do
it's
that?
It's a zero.
Oh, well, you could still roll it.
No, you can't.
Can Finley,
it won't do you any good.
Can Finley ask for help?
I'm going to mention it and say, hey, guys, we should probably set up some digital alerts, huh?
Yeah, but that's basic computer use. That's not computer
That's
science.
Like, go to Google. It says, do you want to set up an alert? And you click it and you put in your email.
All right.
Google alerts in 2012? I don't know if that's necessarily...
I'm just saying, do you think that the average computer user would know how to do that? If you went and asked your mother, could she do it, Jeff?
That's not an average computer user.
There are more of them than there are of us.
If you ask for help, it happens.
Yes, okay. But we're talking medical doctor.
I worked in an office with someone who was not computer technologically savvy in 2012, and even she knew how to use Google Alerts.
I'm just pointing out that there are brain surgeons who don't understand the basics of night-night.
Night-night, buddy.
Night-night, Cannon.
There are documented brain surgeons in this country who do not understand the basics of science. Let's just throw that out there.
If she asked for help, I rolled not four. Well, sorry, five.
Sure. So. With it can be set up. At this point, Dave, you are coming in for a landing.
Oh, okay.
I've got 40 in computer science. If you need computer help, ask me.
You can see that they're, you can see that you're going into a small sort of unincorporated town. Stoltz's version of a small town and my version of a small town are very different.
That's because we're from Indiana.
It's because you're from a rural area.
Well, like his version of a small, quiet, unincorporated town is
10,000 people.
not quite that much.
8,000 people.
Yeah, you get it warmer.
Your version of a small town is less than 1,500 people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So anyway, it is large enough to have a hospital and an airstrip.
Andy's back.
No, you're fine.
Do we need another?
No,
cupcake?
The last time you did that and I was recording, he came down with a face full of blood, so I'm making sure we're okay.
He was gurgling. So
Jeff's editing the first half of him. If I'm editing anything, it's the last half.
No. I need to find that video, actually, because I was doing... Ooh. It didn't ever come out, but I was 25 minutes into a DM confessional, and I hear him crying, and I hear thump, thump, thump down the stairs, and I see... Ooh. I look into where I'm recording, and I see her come down, and, like, his face is just gore. And I just paused the recording as I got up and ran to see, because he had a bloody nose or something, and it was all over him. It was like... Jeff's like, we should release that. I'm like, that's fucking horrifying. Because
need to release it on a Thursday, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's so beautifully backlit and stuff. It's fine.
All right, Dave, what do you got for us?
I just found a relevant part of the U.S. Coast Guard boarding policy, which says that the U.S. Coast Guard also has full legal law enforcement power on any land under the control of the United States.
There you go.
Well,
which
if
means
you're on...
Keep that in your pocket, Dave.
Which means I can also enforce stuff on tribal land, because only federal law can do that.
Ooh. Get an L.
Cha-ching.
As you land, you do see that there is a van there for you. You see, it is still raining at this point. The storm has sort of rolled into this area.
Oh, I was under the impression it was a dust storm.
No, this is a rainstorm.
It's an actual
lightning,
storm.
Etc.
Okay.
Bird. As you land the helicopter, you see a woman, probably mid to late 30s, in sheriff's brown. You know. Gold star on the chest. She's got the hat and she's holding on to it as you land, and she's waving you over to a van.
I'm assuming the van we're getting into is like a prisoner transport like type van.
I mean, it's a rental van. It's a passenger van.
Okay.
She gets the back open and there are some people there. They start moving the equipment into the back for you.
Cover it with the tarps. We can't get it wet.
They all start nodding and you see them starting, you know, moving it as quickly as possible. The woman extends her hand to whoever walks up to her first.
I would assume that I would, because that's kind of my role.
It would be at least 15 minutes to a half hour. Do you want me to follow, or do you want me to stay here and keep it hot?
No, follow.
Okay.
Most definitely.
She shakes, she'll shake Dr. Shearer's hand and kind of go down the line. I'm guessing you're the experts then.
That's what they tell us.
Let's move out.
I hope so. All right, I'll get you to the Catholic hospital as quickly as I can. And she indicates you all should jump in the van. And you see that there are a couple of cruisers. She kind of points to the lieutenant. Hey, he coming with us?
No, but he'll be behind us. You need to send somebody
you
else
see,
after
I mean,
him.
You see her. She's pulling out, and she squawks to somebody, and they leave a squad car. So squad car will take you as soon as you're good.
Try not to make any too crazy turns. This is some serious equipment in here. We don't want to mess it up.
She hops in, and you take off. We'll get you as fast as possible.
Gun it.
What do you know?
Gun it, but don't take any crazy turns.
All I know is that there are people sick at the Catholic hospital, and you folks are coming to deal with it. I'm supposed to get you there as quick as possible.
You know who shut down the bakery?
The Dunkin' Donuts? Yeah.
Sheriff who?
They gonna meet us
there?
Sheriff.
The sheriff didn't actually shut it down. It would have been some of the other deputies.
Sure.
Deputy Cutter?
Sure. Think it'd be Cutter if you wanted to be Cutter.
F***ing Cutter.
What is the sheriff's name?
If you haven't listened to it, go listen to Time of Harvest.
Time for Harvest.
Yeah, that one.
Hey, why don't you get on that...
She tells you the sheriff's name. It's in here somewhere. I gotta find it.
Get on that squawk Billy box Bob. And send every single guy who's actually been inside the building to the hospital now.
Okay. She'll do that.
We have a containment problem here.
Well, I mean, what are we talking about? Is this like that?
We don't know.
That rice and terrorism shit, or
we're taking precautions. Let's get everybody in the same place.
Okay. Well, I mean, like, okay, absolutely. Anything you say.
It's a protocol.
After I run my post-flight, is there a hangar that I can actually put this thing in, or am I just leaving it on the tarmac?
It's up to you. You get the sense that these folks don't get a lot of activity. They kind of look at you like, what do you want to do with it?
Get that private-ass plane out of the hangar and get this thing in there.
Is there room available?
Yeah, they could make room for it. I mean, the storm's going to pass anyway, so it can sit outside if you...
We would probably keep it out and ready to go.
Yeah, I won't worry about that right now. So I will just grab whatever deputy... Well, I'll grab my kit.
Grab the suits.
I'm assuming that's all in the van.
Or whatever. I'm just getting my own personal stuff, and then hopping in the squad car and driving to the hospital.
He'll take you there. Lights and sirens.
Military grade duct tape. Got to have that adhesive.
100 mile an hour tape.
What?
We're rednecking that.
Thomas says. So we need to get one of those. Where can I get one of those blue suits you got in the back there?
The hardware store.
Okay. Okay.
Stay out of the hospital.
Absolutely. My understanding from Dr. Strickland is that you folks are in charge, so you tell me what you need. I'll be
around.
Don't
follow us in.
Who is this person?
Dr. Strickland?
No. The guy who's asking us.
Oh, it's the deputy. She introduces herself as Danica Thomas.
Danica, you're going to be our boots on ground person. I need you to stay away from any potential infection.
Whatever you say, boss. That's what the sheriff sent me here to do.
Where is the sheriff?
He is... taking care of, I mean, he's where he's supposed to be. He is at the sheriff's station.
Has anybody from the scene gone back to the station?
I don't know. I can check.
Yeah, find out for me, please.
Okay.
Can we try to keep this off the gossip column?
Sure.
No press conferences.
Federal procedure says we try and keep this out until we know exactly what we're doing.
Can you folks in the van roll human? Well, I guess to be fair, Dave could too if he wants to.
Well, I'm in a different car.
Yes. Same thing to interpret.
Pass.
Fail.
Fail.
Ticket.
Tick fails?
Yeah, you tick fails.
Delta green. Tick fails.
It'll improve by one if you survive the scenario.
Does that mean I get to tick computer science?
Yes.
No, she didn't roll.
Oh, yeah.
You have a 0%. You can't roll it unless it's trained.
Rules lawyer.
Dr. Finley, what you begin to discover is that, or what you're getting the sense of, is that while you are quoting etiquette and protocol, you can see Thomas's knuckles start getting whiter as she's gripping the steering wheel, and she's kind of, you see her kind of trembling just a little bit.
I'm in the back seat right behind the driver. And I'm going to put a hand on her shoulder and say, it'll be okay. That's why we're here.
Okay.
We need your help.
Okay. I mean, I'll be the first to admit, Hudson's Well is small potatoes. We don't even really have a drug problem. Like, we don't deal with anything here. Like, Speeding cars is what I deal with most of the time.
Okay, well, you're going to break all those laws, and you're going to get us there hell or high water. Thank you.
Stop breaking the law.
Breaking the speed limit?
I'm going to...
If they have their sirens on, they're doing under police
business.
I don't
know if she has her sirens on.
I'm going to ask the deputy if she knows anything about a research group out here from Caltech.
Caltech?
Yep. Dr. Kayert?
Oh, the lady whose house burned down?
I don't know. That's
arson.
Why I'm asking you.
Yeah, that's what the fire department said. Arson. Burned the whole damn thing to the ground.
When
funniest
did it
thing
burn
I've ever
down?
Seen.
Today, yesterday,
48
last week.
Hours ago?
I'm trying to remember.
We only deal with speeding tickets and arson.
Kieran.
Well, the fire department deals with arson. She doesn't investigate that. That's the marshals. Like I said, Stolce's clearly got a few different ideas in here, and I think that I was supposed to give this to you from the facts as well. So I'll hand it to you and let you discuss it while I look up the answer about the arson.
Event summary. Hudson's Well Emergency Room. June 12, 1420 hours. Jeff Langswheel, age 43, checks in, complaining of high fever, cough, headache, nausea. June 12, 1630 hours. Liz Maury, admitted for fever and headache. 1920 hours. Francesca, age 11, and Julie, age 7, admitted with fever and headache. 2000 hours. Dr. Fitz Strickland goes off duty. Dr. Maya Paulden comes on duty. 2015 hours. Emily Langswheel admitted for fever, headache, and nausea.
That was the same last name we had at the beginning, correct? Langswheel? The first one you said.
Oh, yeah. Jeff Langswheel. And then later on, Emily Langswheel.
Thank you.
And Liz Maury, Francesca Maury, and Julie Maury.
So whatever it is, it's contagious within families. Or close proximity.
Theoretically.
June 13, 1:17 hours. Jeff Langswheel undergoes sudden cardiac arrest.
Defibrillation.
Yes, I know what the word is, Cody.
Now that I put it in there, it makes it harder for you to edit it out and make it sound like you said it right the first time.
Defibrillation restores functioning for 48 minutes. Therapeutic hypothermia attempted until second CA at 0205. Time of death, 0215. 0430 hours. Liz Maury goes into SCA. Resuscitation fails. Time of death, 0441. 0500 hours. Dr. Paulden calls Dr. Strickland to return to the ER. 0545. Ahmad Malouf, age 20, admitted, complaining of fever, headache, and cough. 0610 hours. Dr. Paulden relieved of duty and admitted suffering from low-grade fever and headache. 0630 hours. Gerudo, age 32, and Henrietta Cortez admitted, complaining of fever and nausea. 0750 hours, Stephen Embry admitted, complaining of fever and headache. 0800 hours, CDC contacted. All suspected patients restricted to ICU. Non-exposed ICU patient relocation begins. Non-fever ER referrals were redirected to Bernard Spring Hospital, possible. New fever cases restricted to ER.
Sure, it's not Bryson Springs?
Yep.
Can I see that for a second? Yeah, so there's a little bit of a date discrepancy, because I think in part of this it's saying that it should be like the 15th, but part of it also says it should be the 13th. So we will say that the house burned down yesterday.
The 12th.
So the 12th.
Yes. We will continue with the timeline we've been using already, but if I start to... Let's just say if you start getting a timeline for the disease like it's something that you might want to do, I'll represent it accurately, but I'm floating a little bit because there's parts of this that say it should already be the 14th or the 15th. So we'll get it sorted out, but just as a heads up. I noticed that this might have been an issue before,
but
I didn't realize
it. So when was this Dunkin' Donuts shift? Was it yesterday when all these sick people were coming in? Or was it today after sick people have already been coming in?
It should have been the...
Do we have a name for the Dunkin' Donuts guy? Because that would tell us when he was admitted.
Patient Zero.
There we go. Halfway through. He was one of the last to be admitted before they called the...
Correct. Because what's interesting is that So in one aspect of the scenario, mm-hmm. it should have occurred on the 13th, which would have been today, which I think is what's correlated in that timeline.
Wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
Yes. And it may, I will also point out, it may entirely be possible that in reading this, I have not understood this properly, but there are references to things that I'm trying to keep in my mind what is yet to happen and what should have happened, so I'll continue to update it as we go. But that's what the timeline you've got. So the house burned down yesterday.
House burned down what time yesterday?
Damnedest thing, too. We'll say late afternoon. 100% arson. Accelerants.
Late afternoon?
Yes.
Okay, we got this email from her at 10:51 a.m.
Yes. I know you're okay. trying to correlate timeline. That yep. is, I will accept that as correct.
That is correct. Okay.
Yes.
So she it sent was posted.
She sent the email prior to.
She sent the email to the CDC, didn't she?
She did.
Where is she at now?
There ain't a whole lot left of her. She's in the morgue.
She is.
Yeah.
Okay.
They find her in the remnants of the fire?
Yeah. Yeah. No. Kind of surprising, too. You would have. I mean, fire department said they would have expected it to explode.
But it didn't. It just burned the f*** down.
Yeah, she turned the gas off.
She turned the gas off?
She's trying to stop whatever she was doing. Trying to destroy whatever was there, thinking it hadn't gotten out yet.
You arrive at the hospital. We'll say that the squad car made better time, so we don't have to keep putting you 5 minutes back. So Lieutenant Jimenez pulls up conveniently right behind you.
I just want everyone to know that when we find the closed loop there, if the if it's still working, we're throwing his shoes through it.
Yes.
What?
Dave doesn't listen to the podcast either, so he has no idea.
I know. That's why.
Meta thing, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's called a reference.
Yeah, I don't care. As I'm getting out of the squad car, I will ask the deputy what frequency they're running on, because I have a radio.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. No. That's. Yeah. No. It's a great idea. And she, you can sit and talk with her for a few minutes, so you can key your radio into the correct frequency. So she'll give you the general talk channel, and she's like, "We're also assigned to like Private 3," and she'll put Private 3 in there.
Okay.
Troy's an ass.
Did he?
He threw one cinnamon one in there.
I wondered if that's what that face was. I'm like, oh, something happened with the Mike and Ike.
I'm assuming at this point we're all, like, three abreast walking through the hospital.
Oh, yeah. No, and, like, that's the thing. There are people at the hospital that start to stop you, and then they see what you're doing, and they let you through. Like, you can tell this hospital is mostly empty. You're seeing everyone is in scrubs, gloves, masks.
I'm assuming we're carrying any equipment that we could that we would not expect the hospital to be carrying.
If you're taking in the hazmat suits, you're going to have trouble. Because obviously, like, it's one person per hazmat suit because it's big and bulky.
Right.
But as far as the portable lab, the laptops, and the doomsday bag, you could all carry that in probably between the four of you.
I would like to find an orderly and get Jeff Langswell's insurance pulled.
Okay.
It will have his occupation. He was admitted 6 hours before presumably his wife. Why was there a 6-hour delay? Where does he work?
Okay. You can start working on that.
If you need I will have an orderly start working on that.
Also, if we get just one of those, whatever the random carts are.
Push carts, yeah.
No, not a gurney. Nobody's dead yet. Well,
but that's what has
been. They are, but nobody here.
Me around the hospital.
Anyway, we just need a cart, and then we could put the hazmat suits on that if we wanted to.
We can.
You can put the hazmat suits on a gurney.
We can surf down the halls on the gurney.
Whee!
Persuasion.
It is faster.
Persuasion. This is protocol.
No, I'm going to do Washington on the Delaware.
Oh.
And come in to save the day as you hit your head on every single sign.
Dunk, dunk, dunk.
Worth it.
They can pull the information relatively easily. I guess I want to know what you're looking for exactly.
I want to know why there was a 6-hour delay between Jeff
and
Emily. So I wanted to know what his job was to know if he was at work. And got infected at work. Came home.
You feel
infected
like he's
his wife.
Patient zero.
He was the first one to be admitted, and he was the first one to go into double cardiac arrest and then die. And he died of
just because I read it didn't mean
fever.
I retained it.
Are you wanting to check? Because I mean, that would be in lockup. Are you wanting to check possessions? Are you wanting to check No, look over the bodies.
No, I'm okay. Checking I just with mostly the
hospital
know.
Records.
I'm, yeah. Okay.
I'm not quite Shlack. Getting to personal items.
I was just asking in case I'm that's something you were looking
like,
at.
Walking past administration going, hey,
where'd he
need
work?
You to pull
what were his
me?
Hobbies? Yeah, like, has he been out digging something up in the desert lately?
Like, as we walk in, the first thing they would do is hand us case files on all the victims they have so far.
And if right. not, that's what I would go after.
That's fair.
Give me the paperwork.
Will you? Okay, chill
she
out.
She wants to put it in a spreadsheet.
The charts.
Charts, spreadsheets, doesn't the f*** matter. Jazz likes them all. Just not medical charts, which is exactly what we're referring to. I can't read them. And I can't read doctor's writing.
So you can't read your own writing. Thanks for ruining the stereo.
Okay.
It's in half Mandarin.
Okay, Jasmine's working on that. Or she's got an orderly working on that. What about the rest of you?
I'm probably on my way to Strickland.
Okay. You're on your way to interview Strickland. Dr. Finley, since you've got somebody else working on that, are you doing something else? Are you assisting with that?
Let me think about it.
Okay, she's thinking about it.
I am asking the deputy to get us the file for everything having to do with that fire and that woman.
Okay, it'll take us a little bit, but I can get that pulled. So she's going to go look for that information. What are you doing while you're having that information pulled?
I will start going through the other patients.
Okay. Are you talking to the patients? Are you going through...
First, I'm going to read through their file.
Okay.
See what I can find there.
Okay, so you're working on that. That's going to take a little bit of time.
My turn.
What are you... Are you just looking for, like, occupations, stuff like that?
Yeah. Connection points.
Okay.
Whenever it gets back around, I figured out what I was going
to
do.
What would you like to do?
I would like to scrub up and go see the last patient to be admitted.
Which is?
Be Steven.
Presumably Steven, in a
Steven
suit. Who?
Steven Embry.
Okay.
Yes, because he should be in isolation in ICU.
Presumably Kay. In a suit?
Yes.
Okay.
It is what I just said.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. You said presumably in a suit, and I said yes.
She said yes, and then said her next bit. But either way, I understand why.
Are you listening to me?
And now you know what it's like in the home.
Yes, there's always fun voices involved. Life is more entertaining that way. Your chair is broken.
Yeah, no, that's
is that
the
one that always
gets... Yeah,
that's
why I was...
That's Matt's chair.
I fixed it.
Oh, no, for now.
Well, I didn't drop to the floor this time.
Jasmine, I need a humit roll.
It's waiting for you to feel secure.
Fail.
Are we moving towards a Strickland conversation? Do I have 30 seconds?
Oh, yeah, no, I'm...
Do I have 30 seconds or no?
For what?
No, for our restroom usage.
Yeah, go ahead. Okay. I'm just paying no attention to me.
Just rolling dice over here.
Mm-hmm.
If you keep rolling dice and not telling what it's for, I'm going to start eating my burrito in the mic.
He doesn't have to tell you anything.
Yeah, no shit. Okay, as you begin, because you've scrubbed up and gone in, you do find out it takes you maybe an hour or so, but you find out that Langswell has a PhD in physics.
So is it his insurance or his wife's?
Probably his wife's.
Okay. What does she do?
I had it and then I lost it.
Also, the fact that he has a PhD doesn't say what his job is.
Correct.
He's a physics professor.
He didn't say professor.
Physics PhD, what else are you going to do?
You could do quite a few things.
You could work at Dunkin' Donuts.
Emily, his wife, is an office manager at State Farm. So they have State Farm insurance.
They got a good rate.
Presumably she wore khakis.
It is the desert.
Blend in.
Jeff, you were doing sort of book work, yeah?
Yeah, I was looking into the Maoris and who else?
Can you... Do you want to look over their possessions with forensics?
No, I'm wanting to go through their files.
Okay. Their files don't have a lot. I mean, a little bit of job information, but otherwise...
Yeah, what do they do?
Depends on which one we're talking about. We already know Emily works at State Farm.
The Maoris. Liz Maori.
Well, I'm looking. A lot of this is how quickly you can get it done. Liz is a child.
How old is it?
Oh, you're right. Liz Mori is not age 11 or age 9.
Correct.
Francesca and Julie are also children?
Correct.
So is their parent here?
Theoretically, yes, but not as one of the infected, I don't believe.
No, they are not listed as an infected.
Correct.
Okay.
So were they at school? Did they go for free donut day? Were they in the house that blew
is
up?
Is it free donut day?
We should find out if the other adult infected that are not related to the children have children.
You said Ahmad was the guy from Dunkin' Donuts?
Correct.
Then who is Gerudo? Gerudo and Henrietta Cortez. And you were checking on Stephen Embry, right?
I was suiting up.
Oh, D. I knew I'd seen it. I was spelling it wrong to search it up.
Ah.
Mr. Gerudo Cortez is a real estate agent.
What about Henrietta?
I don't think I have information on her, but let me check. I'm going to guess... sorry.
Business park?
Yep. I'm going to guess maybe housewife, but let me search. I'm searching by Gerudo, which won't find her name.
No, because that's the first name of the husband.
Sorry, his wife, Henrietta, teaches grade school.
Okay.
Okay.
Were they at a field trip to the arson house?
What?
Not that you're aware of. So anyway,
let's go take samples of the contaminated house that burned down.
This information is all stuff that you get. It's taking some time. We'll go back to your Dr. Strickland conversation.
Before I walk in the room, I want to, like, from the symptoms we've talked about, when I see Dr. Strickland, does he look like he's in distress besides the fact of the issues? Does he look like he might be symptomatic at all?
Maybe. I mean, Strickland is, Strickland looks shaky. He's off a run out. He's only been on duty 4 hours, and you know MD's, like, and again, you think that this guy's probably, I like how you're switching chairs.
Yeah.
That takes out half the fun. The fun is when you keep falling the entire episode.
You remember when I about broke my ass?
Did you remember when I about broke mine?
He does appear to be wound up a bit, and he does appear to be drenched in sweat.
That's the squeaky one.
You actually see, Dr. Strickland, as you step in, he sort of looks up and, you know, with a gloved hand is kind of like, doctor, I better not. I'm glad you're here. What can I do to help? I'll be honest. I'm more used to car wrecks and, you know, fevers and stuff like that. Not anything like this. This is a little out of my pay grade. What can I do to help?
Any new symptoms in any of the patients prior to their...
They're just getting worse. It doesn't seem to... Anything that we do doesn't seem to help. Nothing seems to break the fever. Nothing that I can do.
Keeping, I would say, probably as much distance as possible from actual physical contact. I would ask, you know, what kind of quarantine they've put in place thus far.
He begins to describe, like, as basic of a quarantine as he can. Everybody's gloved, everybody's masked, but it's...
Are people not allowed to leave?
Yeah. No, they're keeping people in the hospital. I mean, you were met by some sort of contingent.
Including faculty.
Yeah, no. Everybody who's on duty, God help us, is expected to stay on duty.
Any thoughts on anything correlating between patients besides symptoms? Any background, any new information, anything said from patients?
No, not a whole lot. We've been doing what we can basically for damage control. A lot of them are in and out of consciousness from the fever. We're trying to give them, a lot of, at this point we're trying to keep the fever down with the blankets and so on and so forth.
How are you feeling, doctor?
I'm glad you guys are here. That's all I can say.
Have you had yourself checked out yet?
No, why would I?
Why don't you go do that?
Your colleague just checked herself in?
Well, yeah, no, that was before we were, before we were masked up. You would know that this is basically a hazmat suit D. So, like gloves, no respirator, but mask, etc.
Have you had anybody in hazmat suit D admitted?
No. Nobody else from the hospital staff other than, I think it's Dr. Mori.
Is it because you haven't checked your guys' selves out? Or because you...
No, we're keeping a close eye on everyone. Everyone seems to be fine.
You seem a little worse for wear, Doctor.
I'm sure I'm fine.
I'm going to have you go check yourself out right now, Doctor.
You're a doctor. You can check them out.
I'm not touching him. He's going to be checked
he's
by
not,
people.
He's
who's
not
like,
a doctor, doctor.
I'm a scientist. I'm an epidemiologist. I have nothing to do with...
Finley is already putting on the yellow suit, the bee, and turns around and goes...
I roll a 30 of persuasion to talk him into going and having himself actually checked
sure.
out.
Sure. No, I mean, he'll say, fine, here, I'll prove it to you. And he's standing next to medical equipment, so he puts the thermometer in his mouth and clicks the button. Beep. He's running a temperature of 101.2.
All right. Go admit yourself. We'll take over.
He's like, you see.
So who's your second in command?
You see him pale and his eyes get wide. He's like, we did everything right.
I'm not saying you did it, Doctor.
No, you don't understand. By the time Dr. Mori showed symptoms, we knew something was up. So since then, everyone's been scrubbed.
Dr. Strickson, you worked a shift yesterday, didn't you?
He did.
When people were coming in.
He did.
You were in contact with them then before you knew.
No, it seems to spread much too fast for that. Like, once we knew what we were dealing with, this is everything that I've ever been trained for. I should have been fine.
We know. This is not anything you've ever seen. Please come into the ICU room. I'm going to get you checked in.